Our presenter today is Paul Stoffer, whose topic is The Golden Ghosts of Montana State College, a subject Paul has researched, written about, and presented to veterans and other groups in Montana in recent years. Paul was recently selected by the Western Lands and Peoples Initiative at Montana State University to present The Golden Ghosts this fall at the Ivan Doig Symposium, part of the university's celebration of the late writer's work.
This is also a story for all ages, so I'm going to take Sandra's seat here momentarily. Before I begin my presentation, I want everybody to take a moment to go back in time. It's December 1945. The war in Europe and the Pacific had ended just months ago. In the 4 years, you first heard about the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, and with Congressman Rankin's no vote, the only one, you have watched neighbors, friends, and family members leave Bozeman, some in uniform as they went off to do their part. Many returned, some did not. On this cold, snowy December evening, you and your family are gathered around the radio listening to a story about the greatest college football teams of all time.
Be described as the Paul Harvey of his time. Some of you remember Paul Harvey. The story is one of many that appeared shortly after the war, starting with a July 1945 article in the Washington Post, which referred to the pre-war Golden Bobcat football team as the Golden Ghosts under the headline, "War Wipes Out Entire 40-41 Montana State Football Team." The story took off like wildfire across the country, being retold in every major newspaper, sometimes with a new twist, as well as in radio broadcasts, just like the one you heard. While the story originated out of Montana State's Office of Communication, I have yet to find any attempt made by the college to correct the facts. 72 years later, this legend of the Golden Ghosts of Montana State College continues today, and it should. The late Ivan Doig was inspired to write his novel, The 11th Man, about 10 years ago after he was introduced to the legend by the Montana State Historical Society, where he was conducting research for another book. While the real story is not as statistically as impressive as the original headlines once touted, it remains, in my view, one of the truly remarkable stories to have originated from this area. Which is why I seem to spend so much time researching it. I've learned a lot, and I've met and learned about some amazing people in the process, and I honestly can't think of a better time to share this story than Memorial Day weekend, the day this country set aside for remembering the people who died while serving in the armed forces. I also want to preface that this is not a story to just recognize those who played football and perished. In my research, I found that over 70 young men who had studied at Montana State College died while in uniform during the Second World War. The connection with the football team resulted in greater publicity, thus the availability of more information on these individuals both before and after the war. I should also note that per capita, the state of Montana's World War II losses was one of the highest in the nation. Although I have not been able to verify it, it would not surprise me to find that Montana State College's losses were among the highest among all institutions of higher learning in the country, right up there with the military service academies. To put it in perspective, Montana State College at that time had fewer students than Bozeman High School. Now back to the story. So Bill Stern suggested in his broadcast that when you're erecting a monument to the greatest football team of all time, put on that monument the name Montana State College. Well, in 1960, a good 15 years after the war, the Montana Sports Hall of Fame did in fact dedicate not a monument, but a plaque, which now hangs in the Rick Reed Fieldhouse, just outside the men's restroom and above the drinking fountain in the lower southwest section. It's about a foot high, about 18 inches wide, and it contains the names of 13 persons, 12 from Montana communities, one from a small town near Idaho Falls. The plaque indicates these men played on the 1940-41 football team. The All-America team of 1944 by Bill Stern. So what is the real story then behind the Golden Ghosts? Just five of the 13 players listed were on the 1940 football team. Two were on the 1941 team. And two guys, two of the names on the plaque, never played football at all. They, at least for the college. They were actually on the basketball team. The other four names were all on Montana State football teams, but they played during the 1930s. So, these young men were from big and small families, urban and rural, and from all over Montana. They were the children of miners, smelter workers, ranchers, farmers, immigrants, and in most cases, the first in their family to attend college. Each loss was devastating to the family and their communities. Every one of them was a commissioned officer, largely due to the experience they gained through the ROTC program here at Montana State College. So I'd like to introduce you now to some of these Montana State Golden Ghosts. In early 1942, Dana Bradford of Townsend became the first casualty of the group, and that was just 14 months after the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. He was a fourth generation Montanan. In fact, he was related to Emma Carpenter Cowan, who Mark Miller wrote about in his book, Adventures in Yellowstone. Bradford had been married only a few months to a girl from Livingston he had met in college when his B-25 crashed on a night training mission in rural Texas. After a presentation I did in Townsend on Veterans Day a couple of years ago, a woman introduced herself afterward and said her brother's first and middle name was Dana Bradford, which she'd heard growing up was a friend of her parents in high school. There's another plaque at the Texas crash site dedicated to Lieutenant Bradford and the other five people that perished in that crash. Bradford was one of three persons named on the plaque and one of 36,000 overall that were killed in domestic air training accidents in World War II. And this is a number that I got if anybody's read Laura Hildebrand's book, Unbroken. The other two Bobcats killed were Wendell Skabat of Glendive, and he was one of the basketball players and also the son of Hungarian immigrants. He first played his basketball at the University of Montana before he transferred to Montana State. The other one was Elton Zempel, who was a 1941 football player who grew up on a ranch near Forsyth. And Zempel's crash occurred just 2 weeks before the Japanese surrendered. John Phelan grew up in Butte and worked in the copper mines when he wasn't in school. After 2 years as the Bobcat quarterback, he joined the Army Air Corps and was co-pilot on a B-17 crew based in England seeing heavy action. And what is impressive about Lieutenant Phelan is he completed all of his bomber missions, and then he was sent home. But instead of riding out the war, comfortably riding out the war in Butte, he retrained as a single-seat fighter pilot and was later shot down. And when I was interviewing Johnny Phelan's nephew, I asked him why he thought John went back to the war, and he said according to his mother, Johnny was bored and he could not stay home, and he wanted to fly the planes that once protected the bombers that he flew. Phelan's college roommate was Newell Berg, who was the son of Norwegian immigrants. He was the youngest of 13 children and the only name on the plaque not from Montana. He had been the captain of Idaho State's football team before he had, in 1939, before he transferred to Bozeman. After graduating from Montana State, he taught English and coached Tiny Klein High School near Roundup to the 1942 Montana Class B basketball state championship. Marine Lieutenant Berg was wounded in the Battle of Tarawa and later killed on the island of Saipan, less than a year after an older brother died in Virginia. Two gold stars hung in the front window of the Berg family home before the war ended. Bernard Clusen was one of 12 children raised in the tiny community of Lone Pine, based on the Flathead Indian Reservation near Polson. A Marine Corps pilot, in 1942, a photo of Major Clusen and was featured on the cover of the New York Times Magazine with the caption, quote, "the kind of man Hitler wishes we didn't have," unquote. Major Clusen's plane disappeared in the Pacific following a mission in 1944. He is the only name on the Fieldhouse plaque whose remains were never recovered. Company Commander Captain Joe McGeever of Anaconda, a paratrooper, was killed by machine gun fire in southern France while in the process of saving a number of his men. One of the neat stories that followed is one of McGeever's lieutenants, Steve Maciag, traveled to Montana from Vermont after the war to tell the McGeever family what a great person the man they called Mac was. He ended up marrying Joe's niece. He stayed and raised his own family in Anaconda. And if any of you know Father Leo Proxel at Holy Rosary, a member of the Bozeman Interfaith, he's related to the Maciag McGeever family. Bozeman's Richard Roman Jr. grew up in a house just 2 blocks from here, over on 6th. After graduating from Montana State, he stayed on as an ROTC instructor and helped train many of the men named on the plaque. In fact, he delivered the eulogy of his good friend, Lieutenant Dana Bradford, at Sunset Memorial Cemetery just 2 years earlier. Captain Roman was killed under heroic circumstances in France in 1945 and was awarded the Silver Star for gallantry in action. Rick's nephew sent me a copy of a letter one of Captain Roman's men sent Rick's mother in 1980, a good 35 years after the war. In closing, the former infantry soldier told Mrs. Roman, quote, "My intention in writing this letter is to let relatives and friends of Captain Richard Roman know that community," referring to Bozeman, "provided one of the greatest heroes of World War II. Just over the hill from Captain Roman on the day he lost his life was Lieutenant Carl Five from Butte. Five was killed in the battlefield in Germany 1 month after Roman. One of the most memorable interviews I did was with Donald Brockel, who was Lieutenant Five's best friend during the war. "Carl," he said, "did not have to be on the front line that day, but he wasn't afraid of anything." After the war, Donald and his wife, and one of their sons, Carl, in honor of his good friend. Lieutenant John Hall, Jr., was the 6'5" center for the basketball team and later the pilot of a B-24. He was born and raised in Bozeman, and the Hall family home was on Mendenhall Street, directly across from Hawthorne Elementary School. And where the house is now where an office building is, and that office building is named the Hall Building. A week before D-Day, and in a sky filled with U.S. bombers that were over England returning from a training mission, another B-24 inadvertently moved into Lieutenant Hall's B-24. A photographer on the ground caught the collision on film, and they were published a few months later in Look magazine in a feature entitled 20 Seconds, 20 Men. A 10-man crew in each plane was lost. Lieutenant Hall's wife, widow, Sally, remarried after the war, and she and her husband, Joe, also a World War II veteran, established Joe's Parkway Market, which continues to be operated by family members today. The last three names on the plaque are Lieutenant Orrin Bellis from the town of Victor in the Bitterroot Valley, and Captain John Burr from Arlington and Livingston, and Captain William Coy, a 1933 graduate of Montana State College and the oldest Golden Ghost, who grew up in Deer Lodge. Lieutenant Beller was killed by friendly fire in Normandy, France, in July of 1944, leaving behind his widow Frances, a woman he met and married while in basic training in Mississippi. Captain Burke was a tank battalion commander killed in North Africa. His remains were buried in the U.S. cemetery in Tunisia, the only member of the Golden Ghosts buried in a cemetery outside of the United States. Captain Burke's brother Jim told me his parents had heard stories that coffins returning from overseas were full of rocks, and they did not want to take the chance that this is what would come back to Livingston. Captain Coy was also a B-25 pilot. His plane crashed in the water off the coast of the Philippines in November 1944. Although Captain Coy was killed in the crash, three members of his crew survived the crash, probably, and perhaps attributable to this pilot's skill. Fortunately for us, the vast majority of the players on the 1940 and 1941 Montana State football teams were not killed in action. In fact, I got an email from one of them just yesterday, which is the story anyway that Bill Stern and others had turned out in that year. Instead, they, along with so many others, returned home, and many lived long, productive lives on par with this amazing group that Tom Brokaw termed the greatest generation, like Tom Moe and Bill Weifenbach. What I've just shared is just a sampling of the short lives of the Golden Ghosts of Montana State College. Names on a plaque today, but 70 years ago, these men were someone's child, spouse, friend, neighbor, and later war buddy or commanding officer. These men are just a few of those who served and perished from Montana, and just a fraction of the thousands of men and women who have died while serving our country in the armed forces through the numerous wars. My guess is pretty much everyone in this room has a story for Memorial Day about someone they knew. They are gone, but they will not be forgotten. Thank you.